Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. My name is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen in cold and windy Las Vegas. My co-host, Mike Reynolds in Baltimore. Mike, how are you?
Same as you, cold and windy and snowing.
Oh, it is snowing now.
Well, nothing that snow. We still have snow on the ground, though. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I was looking at the East Coast earlier today, and they are just like Chicago especially is just literally buried in snow.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The weather is just crazy. Well, let me welcome Lori G. and Sherrod to the chat room. The others will be following shortly. But if you would like to join us in the chat room, please go to blogtalkradio.com. On the home page, scroll down to the live chat with box. Look for Talking Smooth Jazz. Then click the play chat button underneath the Scott Bugs Allen Show. With a jazz style that can be best described as cool, smooth, and funky, bassist Scott Bugs Allen and guitarist Earl Harris are the neo-jazz-funk duo Third Scenario. Their upcoming CD on the Spectra Jazz label is called It's About Time. Scott, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we are happy to have you on. And if you're hearing the noise that you hear in the background, Scott is in a restaurant doing this interview. So he just finished helping his partner move today, who is Earl Harris. So he is at a restaurant doing the interview. So thank you again for joining us. And hopefully Earl will be able to join us later.
Yeah, yeah. What are best friends for? We play together. We write together. We got to move together. Well, you know, I got to help him move.
All right. Well, good. So, well, let's start with how you and Earl met to start Third Scenario, and what's the significance behind the name?
Well, I'll tell you the story, and I'm going to tell you the correct story because it's been incorrectly told over time.
Okay.
I was back in Baltimore. This is 13 years ago. I was back in Baltimore, and I was making some friends online, and I came across this young lady. Her name was Venus Bernardo, and we just talked about, you know, different things, music in general. And I told her I was relocating to L.A., and she said she had a friend who was a phenomenal guitarist and vocalist, and his name was Earl Harris. I said, the first thing I got to do when I get to L.A. is hook up with this guy, meet this guy, and see what we can, you know, what we can do together. So it just so happened, during that time, there was another band that was recruiting a bass player. The name of the band was called Back to Back.
Mm-hmm.
And I responded to their ad, so to speak, for a bass player. And I said, you know what, you guys are probably going to need a guitarist. I've just been told about a guy that I want to have come join us. And so what we did was when I got out to meet with these guys and go to one of their rehearsals, I called Earl. By this time I had his number, called and said, hey, meet me at this rehearsal studio. We're going to play with these guys and see what it's about. Now, keep in mind, this is the beginning of the story. Let's call that scene one, all right? So we get with these guys. We play a few gigs, but the band is like nine members strong. The stuff they're doing can best be described as R&B power pop, you know. Definitely a few notches below the cutting edge that we saw ourselves as performers, as artists, as writers. So after a few months of that, we decided, let's take a few members from this group. Let's try to start a branch off band and see if we can maybe cut the edge a little sharper. So that was our scene two. Neither of the people that we recruited from within that band kind of, you know, met the bar. and arrogant as it may sound, we had high expectations for ourselves. So that was scene two. So we said, listen, we're gonna branch out. We're gonna do this thing, you and me. We're gonna hand pick the best musicians we can find. We're not gonna compromise any skill level or any level of experience. We're gonna put the best show we can possibly put on stage and in the studio, and we're gonna call it the third scenario because the first two, well, weren't meeting our expectations of what we thought we could put out as a product. So there's the name third scenario. So we tried it two times, tried it a third time, third time's a charm.
Okay, cool. Wow, that's a great story. And you know, Scott, now you mentioned that you relocated to LA from Baltimore.
Yes.
Now, why did you relocate? Was it the opportunity that LA presented, or what was the reason for the relocation? Was it, as far as musically?
There were some other career reasons, personal reasons, but the music was the draw. I was musically active in Baltimore, but Baltimore had I love my hometown, but there were limited opportunities to have a career in music. I played for my church. I played for a few local bands. I had an active musical life, but not anything that I could, nothing I could parlay into an actual career. And I knew that I would network and meet up with some other musicians who would perform with me at the level I was hoping to perform. So that's what brought me back to L.A. At the time, I was a single parent, packed up my daughter and everything I had, and headed west.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So now you guys recently signed with Spectre Jazz for the CD. And when is the CD scheduled to be released?
Well, the CD is going to be re-released under the Spectre Jazz label. We originally started out as an independent project. We weren't signed to anyone. Mm-hmm. And thanks to social networking, kind of what we're doing right now, it gained the attention of Cornelius White, who is the director of operations at Spectre Jazz label. And a little background on that, Spectre Jazz is a new subsidiary label of the Spectre Music Group that founded about 30 years ago. So the Spectre Jazz label is actually only about, I'm going to say, 6-7 months old.
Oh, really? Okay.
And there were some notable, and so the roster, they have some catalog of some what I would call they were grandfathered in some catalog from other artists. I guess they bought some rights to some catalog and had some of those historical artists on their label, and then they have a few standout artists who are on their label right now. Most notable would be a guy you want to hear one day. His name is Matt Kassan. If you've heard of Matt.
Yes.
When we first investigated Spectre Jazz, quite frankly, Matt is the artist that stood out to us as, okay, that's kind of where we see ourselves, you know. And so we immediately identified with him, and when the offer was presented, we took advantage of it.
Yeah,
oh,
and actually,
okay.
We'll be interviewing Matt soon. Like I said, Matt is the keyboardist for Brian McKnight. Very good singer.
Yeah.
Very good singer. Guy's awesome. Awesome singer.
What I'll say about him is that he was very gracious. We met him at the NAMM show here in L.A. Last month, and as it turns out, I ended up playing with him at the NAMM show, courtesy of Monster Cables, who's a company he endorses. And as a result, we started gaining the attention of a lot of the folks at the NAMM show. So much so that Larry Dunn from Earth, Wind & Fire came and sat down with us, and we just had an impromptu jam session at the NAMM show. And then as a result of that, instantly, the three of us, Earl, Matt, and myself, and so we booked a gig later on just last week, and Matt performed with us. And it was a phenomenal show here in Long Beach, California, at the Blue Cafe. So we've already kind of incorporated him into what we do and us into what he does. So expect some Matt Kassan and Third Scenario collaborations live and on stage real soon, hopefully even in Baltimore.
All right. Now, tell us about the CD. The name of the CD is called It's About Time, being re-released on the Spectra Jazz label. So tell us about the CD.
The CD is a reflection of what people have been saying to us over the last 12 years since we've been a duo. Every time we'd play a live gig, you know, people would say, hey, you guys have a CD? And we had a CD that we did earlier. It was a compilation of some covers and some things that we were working on. But at the time, we didn't have a plan to really distribute it and sell it as a product. It was basically what we sold or gave out at live shows. So when that chapter was kind of over, you know, everybody who would come and hear us live would say, hey, when's the CD coming out? When's the CD coming out? Do you guys have any CDs? Who are you working with? You know, when's the next project? So when we finally decided, okay, we're going to do this thing, we're going to do it big. We have big, you know, high aspirations for the CD. And when we finally told people we were in the process of putting it together and putting it out, the resounding response was, it's about time, you know, because people have been waiting for us to do this for a very long time. We've gotten quite a loyal fan base here in L.A. So when they heard that it was about to happen, people were just over and over, it's about time. So we just decided to make that the title of the CD and the title track. And the title track speaks to our vision about using your gifts, you know, taking yourself to the next level, you know, improving your lifestyle through your gift, through your art, through your business sense. And so, you know, the lyrics that Earl Harris wrote for this song really speak to what we're trying to do, and it speaks very positively about if you have a dream, you know, it's time to put it together. It's you know, no more passing. It's time to put it together. Move your life forward. You know, flap your wings and fly. Basically, you know, get off the ground and make it happen.
Amen. Amen to that. Now, are there any? Did you guys do any remixes on this song on the CD, or is it all the same music?
Under the Spectra Jazz label, there's a few edits. A few songs have been lengthened for the sake of being congruent with radio airplay.
Okay.
So in that sense, yeah, there was some edits that took place between us gaining the attention of the label and actually signing with the label to make it a little more radio airplay friendly. Frankly, a lot of the songs that we came up with, a few that I came up with originally were supposed to be simple interludes between songs, but the flow and the style of the song lent itself to airplay so much so that we decided to lengthen it and make it a full-length feature song. So,
okay.
I'm not tell you which one, but some clever listening, you might even figure that out. And because it's just two of us who've done all the instrumentation and vocals, it's very easy to alter a song. When you have a bunch of different musicians involved, sometimes it's hard to get people together and schedules together and get people in the studio. But basically, this studio, this project was done in our prospective home studio. I did a lot of the pre-production in my own personal studio, which my wife, Cynthia, was gracious enough to give me what would have been her office in our home studio. And then Earl has a studio in his home. So basically, I did my tracks, my ideas. You know, because we lived at the time, you know, 30 miles apart, I'd send him the tracks via email or file sharing or whatever. He'd get them, and then he would put his production wizardry on it and make it worthy of the third scenario name. So the heavy lifting of the production really goes on Earl's shoulders. He's got the all the studio prowess to make something that's good sound great. So that's where I give the credit to.
Okay. All right. Well, we are talking.
As a matter of fact, as I sit here telling you that, he's actually flexing. He's literally flexing. You know.
We are talking to bassist Scott Bugs Allen, and I'm going to play the title track from the CD, It's About Time, and I definitely want to know how you got the nickname Bugs. If you would like to call in and speak with Scott, the number is 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485. And TSJ Chatters, you know how we do. If you have a question, just post it in the chat room, and I will get that question to Scott. From the upcoming re-release CD, It's About Time, on the Spectra Jazz label, this is the title track.
So
it's about time for a new kind of life. I agree with
yes.
you there.
as we move my partner into a new house, yes, it's about
yes.
time for a new kind of life.
I heard that. So now, what instruments are you playing, and what instruments are Earl playing?
Okay, I play, I do the horn arrangements, play all the bass line, a little bit of the drum programming. Earl does drum programming as well, but he does the string arrangements. He plays all the guitar. He does the lead vocals. And via guitar, he does the keys.
Oh, okay.
That's studio magic that enables him to play whatever he wants on guitar, and it comes out as keyboards.
Wow, okay. All right.
In layman's term.
Okay. All right. And then how did you get the nickname Bugs?
The nickname Bugs came from high school track team. Walbrook High School back there in Baltimore, for all you listeners. That's how I got the nickname Bugs. That was a practical, joking kind of wise guy that like a Bugs Bunny, and the nickname just stuck, and it's been with me all these years.
Okay.
So that's where the nickname came from.
Okay, cool. Now you guys have worked with a lot of artists in the industry, like Stephanie Mills and Evie
yes.
Winans and Impromptu.
Yes.
Now, what was the experience between working with R&B artists and, you know, working with guys like Impromptu?
Well, you know, working with R&B artists like Stephanie Mills and Evie Winans, Earl happened to be involved in writing original songs for the play What's on the Hearts of Men that Malik Yoba wrote and produced, and that's how we came to the attention of Stephanie Mills and BB Wyden. But the difference between working with R&B artists like them or, say, an Impromptu, the only real difference is more or less instrumentation versus something that's vocally led. Not a whole lot of difference, except the jazz side gives us a lot more room to improvise and use some of those, you know, improvisational skills that make jazz artists, and that's the difference. One thing I like is that you're able to assert your personality a lot more as a musician in the jazz format than you are in R&B, where you're kind of sticking to the script. So that's one of the reasons that we, although we have R&B abilities and skills, it was our decision not to go that route, because as musicians we have a lot more to say than just, you know, and we can infuse lyrics into anything, but really it's about the instrument at the end of the day and how well you can tell your story on your instrument. So I play trumpet and bass, so I'm able to have, you know, a couple different voices.
Okay. Now, Impromptu performed here last year at the Mount Charleston Jazz Fest. Were you guys
yes.
with them?
Last year. Did you play a gig with Impromptu last year at the Charleston Jazz Fest in Baltimore?
Las Vegas.
No. I'm sorry, it was in Vegas. No, we weren't with them then.
Okay.
That was a few years prior with our involvement with them. As a matter of fact, they are no longer. Johnny Britt has pursued a solo career, and he's doing his own thing. He's producing a lot of great music for other artists as well as himself after a 17-year run. So, they did a great job, though, of laying a template and providing a blueprint for bridging various forms of our music into a pseudo jazz format. So Johnny Britt's a brilliant musician. I can't give him enough props.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we heard that he had gone solo. I personally hate to hear that, because I got the chance to see them at the Mount Charleston Jazz Fest here in Las Vegas last summer, and it was so good. They were so good together. So I hate that they.
Yeah, it's brought something unique to the scene, and that's exactly what we're trying to do, bring something unique, try to create something that doesn't already exist, and I think that's what separates us from other acts. I mean, a lot of guys play saxophone, a lot of guys play guitar, millions of people sing. Now, to do to be the master of your instrument and also have a vocal aspect to what you do, or be multi-instrumentalist, you know, as a duo, that's something that's not commonly done. I mean, you really haven't seen many groundbreaking duos, you know, since Hall & Oates, you know, Steely Dan. That doesn't happen a lot because in our society today, we're so individually driven, you know, we don't, the concept of teamwork sometimes gets lost because the business either demands it or the individual demands it. But we enjoy working as a duo because we have a great balance between, you know, my thoughts and ideas, Earl's thoughts and ideas, and perspectives. And he has a unique skill set, and I have a unique skill set. And so you put those things together, you come up with something pretty special.
Now, with the two of you just performing by yourselves, you know, what do you do when you perform live? Are you bringing in other musicians?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
We always, I mean, the reason behind Third Scenario, believe it or not, when we formed Third Scenario, we started off having a couple other members.
Right.
But we could keep consistent members because we had a vision, and people come and go. And at some point we decided, okay, you know, Third Scenario is the two of us. I mean, we brought this thing from its infancy. There's always going to be the two of us. As a matter of fact, even when we perform with other acts, if it's not the two of us together on stage, it's not Third Scenario. So what we do is we go out and we agree on who we're going to hire for this gig or this session. And we only hire the best people that we can find that know our vision, know our flavor. So the people that all of your major artists, they have their band and they have their select clique of musicians that they use, and you'll hardly ever see them use anyone else. You know, Marcus Miller uses Patrick Stewart as his trumpet player. He uses Fuji Bell as his drummer. There's a few select musicians that he'll use. We use, you know, one of the musicians we use is Robert Miller Jr., one of the best drummers, and he's been working with us since he was a kid, barely out of high school. I'll put his age out there. He'll be 30 this year. Still younger than we are, but still, somebody who's been with us and knows our sound, knows what's going to happen on stage, knows our flavor, and, you know, he plays for Natalie Cole now, so I mean, he's not always in town, so we may grab somebody else who's available. But it's that caliber of musician that we go after, a certain caliber of musician that's raised the bar. It's like if you were a great basketball player, if you put back during the heyday Kobe and Shaq on the court, well, everybody can't play with Kobe and Shaq. You're gonna have some other really good players. You know, if he had Jordan and Pippen on the court, everybody can't play with Jordan and Pippen. And if they do, they're going to raise the game, and we're going to raise the game. So it's kind of that level of artistry that we want, which is why we work with Frank McComb, which is why we work with Karen Briggs, which is why we work with, you know, some of the artists that we work with, because we know not only are they going to raise the game for us, we're going to have to raise our game, and it's going to make for a great show and great entertainment for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Well, let's get back to some music. The next song, Scott, is Lazy Bird. Tell me about this one.
Lazy Bird. Well, Lazy Bird is a song that allows us to explore sort of the fusion side of smooth jazz. We're not just, you know, watered down smooth jazz musicians. We like to push the envelope a little bit. And Lazy Bird is one of those songs that really features the guitar work and vocal scatting ability of Earl Harris, and allows us to just explore some space. It's a song that you have to get a visual picture of as you listen to it. You know, there's some intricate bass work in it, which, you know, I'm pretty proud of. There's some great rhythm. There's some great. It's almost like two different songs in one. As a matter of fact, originally, there were two tracks that we were experimenting with, and I was thinking, what if we combine these two tracks? And that's kind of how Lazy Bird came about. You may even hear the two different textures that take place in the song, but one thing that'll blow you away is what happens on the guitar end. It's pretty advanced. It's a fun song to listen to. It's a journey. It's a nice song. You'll definitely enjoy it.
All right, this is Lazy Bird. That was Lazy Bird on the soon-to-be-released CD, It's About Time, on the Spectra Jazz label. All right. Very nice. Very nice, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. If you notice, the recurring themes of songs on this project are things taking flight. You know what I mean? It's About Time, you know, Lazy Bird, you know, things just are sort of taking off. I mean, opportunities are coming our way. You know, endorsement deals. The one thing we're still seeking is a qualified booking agent, but that's okay. there may be one listening right now who's connected and able to get us appearances in certain places and markets that we're trying to reach. So hopefully that'll be.
You never know. Mm-hmm.
Never know.
I wanted to read something from the Spectre Jazz press release on Third Scenario. They said, we look forward to a very receptive response to the sound of this duo, which channels vocal and instrumental styles of Marvin Gaye, Curtis Mayfield, Stanley Clark, and Miles Davis. And they also say that you guys are destined to become the next Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis of funk, jazz, and soul.
Yes, I like that comparison. It's lofty, but I do like that Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis comparison. But what they did point out most accurately are some of our influences. One of the things that caused me to know Pixar well is we have a lot of the same, you know, musical heroes and people that we listen to. So Miles Davis, Marcus Miller, Stanley Clark, you know, they're Brecker Brothers and Mike Stern. There's a lesser known in the U.S., Till Brawner, great trumpet player. We had a Grammy-winning team member in the person of Mark Ledford, who was one of Pat Metheny's stalwart band members for years. And we learned a lot from working with him. He's no longer with us, passed on a few years ago. But we've got some really strong influences. And yes, the Jimmy Jam Terry Lewis comparison in this genre is because they've also signed us not just as recording artists but as a production team. They have their eyes on other artists that they look to bring on board their roster, and they already see our sound being the template for these other artists. So I would very much like to follow in the career footsteps of a Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and produce these other artists and get them to a level where the template of what Third Scenario is and that trademark sound is on the work featuring these other artists. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity. We don't take it lightly. And we really appreciate that they see us in that vein.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry, Mike, did you have a question?
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you also. I know that you serve as an associate minister of music at your Christian Faith Center in Los Angeles at your church.
Yes, yes. That's a very important part of my musical life is my music ministry. I think people who do what we do are gifted by God to do, to bless people with the gift of music. And I don't take lightly that I'm also blessed to be able to minister on Sundays at my church here in Inglewood, California. Great music ministry, strong dynamic leadership there, and I'm really happy to be a part of it. It's part of my life. I wouldn't have it any other way. If I'm traveling, I want to get home and go to church on Sunday. You know, that's really important part of my life. I'm an ordained deacon from my previous church, so I do take my spiritual life very seriously, and it's a source of joy for me. You know, mm-hmm. So it's nothing like giving praise where praise is due, and so hopefully I will always be able to do that.
And, you know, sometimes when you're on the road traveling or even when you're just on vacation or something, I remember when I lived in California, the church that I attended, it was like when I would come home to visit or I was out of town on vacation, I couldn't wait to get back to church, to fellowship. Yeah, I don't know what it was, but it was just it was like I was missing something and I couldn't wait to get back to church and fellowship and be there with everyone. So I can feel you on that one.
Many years ago, when I was on tour in Japan, people asked me, how do you like Japan? I love Japan. I could live there if it were not for, I need soul food. there's a couple things I can't live without.
Mm-hmm.
Soul food and church were the two things that I couldn't get in Japan the way I can here, mm-hmm. here in the United States. That and my family,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I understand that.
I'll tour the world. Three things I got to have. Some soul food, my wife, and church. Not in that order. My wife comes first.
I hear you. Now, Scott, you are the recipient of the 2005 NAACP Award. What was that award for?
The award was as Best Musical Director. I was privileged to be the musical director of a play called If You Don't Believe. It was written by Michael Ajakwe, and it was my second stint as musical director of one of Michael Ajakwe's musical-based plays. The story... just to put it briefly, Tatiana Ali from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air played the lead role. And the story was loosely biographical of Denise Williams and featured her music. As a matter of fact, she was a co-producer of that play. So I had the task of taking who I think is one of the most gifted songbirds of all time, Denise Williams, taking her music and arranging it to fit the script, a brilliantly written script by Michael Ajakwe. So I was up against some really stiff competition among musical directors in this genre. And, I won in 2005, Best Musical Director. But the cast, I mean, Mark Ledford again, that name comes up again, was one of my musicians on my musical staff during that run. And I think what may have gotten the attention of whoever is in the NAACP Theater Award voting was between scenes. We did some of the most awesome musical interludes. And Mark Ledford's trumpet and flugelhorn work, Maia Harper on flute, some of the artists that I had to work with. And Tatiana Ali is a phenomenal singer, phenomenal vocalist, phenomenal actress. It's just a well-rounded cast. One of the artists that I serve as musical director for, C.J. Emmons, was also part of that cast. He's a phenomenal vocalist. So the deck was loaded in my favor. I had a lot of talent to work with, and putting that talent, being the vocal arranger and the musical director, really taught me some things and allowed me to take some things that I'd learned and apply them to musical theater, which is part of my background growing up, actually, in Baltimore. I was a member of, Mike, you may know about the Arena Players and their youth theater project.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I grew up in that program, and so I got a lot of theater background, courtesy of my parents and the great folks at Arena Players, who's this country's oldest black theater company. A lot of great training in that organization, so that eventually culminated in an award. I'm very proud of that.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, so now will you guys be working on, or are you working on a new CD for Spectra?
Well, we are really hopeful, and we are really confident that it's about time to do well as our first release under the Spectra label. The artist that Spectra has in mind for us to produce will become our next priority. And then once that's launched, we'll go back to the drawing board and give you another third scenario project.
Okay.
So after this gets its legs or its wings and makes its way around the country and on the airwaves, thanks in part to your help, we'll turn our attention to the next artist that Spectra's bringing on board and get to work in the studio producing that artist.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to play one more song, and then I have a question for you from the chat room. This next song is Make It Up. Tell me about this one.
Make It Up. Again, it's a song that is in line with our recurring theme about, this being the time to take charge of your dreams and make them what you'll have them to be. Everything great started with a vision, whether it's Starbucks or Microsoft or Nike. It was somebody's vision. It might have been one person's vision, maybe a group's vision, but at some point you had to make it up. You had to put it on paper, you had to plan it, and you had to do it. So I think if there's anybody out there who's an aspiring musician or actress or parent, you know, this is your opportunity to make it what you'll have it to be. So that's what Make It Up is all about.
All right. I like that. This is Make It Up. That was Make It Up. You know, Scott, I like the premise of this CD. It's just like go for it. Whatever you want to do, whatever your dream is, go for it. Now's the time to go for it.
You got it, and that's exactly what we're trying to say. And yeah. You know, we're not, you know, just tomorrow's not promised. So whatever mm-hmm. you can do today, just do it, and do it the best you can, and see what happens. And if it, you know, for some reason it's not as successful as you want it to be, do it again. Do it over.
Yes. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yes, so I agree.
The fact that we have a name, third scenario, means that the first two scenarios weren't what we would have wanted them to be. So the third one has been working for about 12 years now. And so
that's right.
We expect this is the right one.
Oh, okay. Quickly, the question from the chat room. Sherrod would like to know, do you have any plans on going on tour?
Sherrod, that must be Sherrod Patterson. He chatted that he'd be talking to us tonight. So thank you for tuning in, buddy. I really appreciate it. Yes, we do have plans to go on tour. That's one of the reasons we are actively soliciting a booking agency or a management company. The label plans to do some of that for us, but we're not leaving it on their shoulders to do it all. So we're going to actively seek someone to get us out there. There's a few cities that we absolutely want to focus on. One is my hometown of Baltimore in the D.C. area. The other is Earl's hometown of Chicago. And, of course, you know, we're based here in L.A., so we want to tour the West Coast as well, including Vegas, what I call my little triangle. I want to, L.A., San Diego, Vegas, and the Bay Area are those areas I want to focus on primarily. Now, there's been interest expressed in us in Atlanta. There's interest expressed in us in New York and other places throughout the country. And obviously, I've gotten email and positive feedback from as far away as Japan and a couple places in the Middle East, although I've been to the Middle East, and it's not my favorite place. But if market demands, you know, I was in the military. I was in the Marine Corps, so I've been to the Middle East. If market demands us to perform there, then we'll go there. But really, we want to concentrate on our core, what we call our hometown markets. So absolutely, mm-hmm. we want to tour. We're not one of those bands that aspires only to tour. We want to make great music, and we want to make great music for and with other people, and we'd like the music to travel, but we realize that it's necessary to get out there and meet your supporters and your fans and play good music in different parts of the country. So, yeah, we're going to be out there.
Okay. All right. Mike, did you have any other questions?
No, that's for me.
Okay, so, Scott, tell us again when the CD is going to be released and where it can be purchased.
We expect it to release this month, mid-month, around the 15th of February. Of course, it's going to be online, iTunes, Amazon, Napster, but it's also going to be physically available at Best Buy, Target, Borders, and a few places like that, hopefully Walmart. So hopefully you'll be able to get it wherever you are currently buying your music. And we really, this is our first project on the Spectra Jazz label. And, you know, after the music's all done and the production's all done, comes the business of it. So we really want you folks out there who are listening, if you like it, go out and get it. Go out and get a couple copies. get a physical copy and download it for the house and get a physical copy for the car, you know. But by all means, if you keep supporting jazz music, then you'll keep getting jazz music.
That's right.
And to not do it is to watch it go away. So if you like what you've been listening to, not just during this program, but on all of the artists brought to you by TalkingSmoothJazz.com, go out and support the artists and get the product and enjoy it and share it with others. Tell people about it. You know, tell people to go out and get it. You know, so and that enables us to bring the music to you live. You know, it's all kind of cyclical. If you buy the music will come to you. So,
yes.
Go out and get the CD, and the artist will pay you a visit. How's that?
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you, Scott, for joining us this evening. We really appreciate having you on, and we're looking forward to this CD on the 15th.
Thank you. thank you, Terry, and thank you, Mike, for having us on TalkingSmoothJazz.com, and we really appreciate the opportunity to reach an audience. And we think the project speaks for itself. We think it speaks positively of who we are and what we're about, and we think it's good music, and we hope that you'll continue to support it and go out there and get yourself some, and we would like nothing better than to come to your town and perform it for you live. So thank you so much for having us on, and I can't wait to remind people of when this interview will air online so that more people can become aware of what you do, because I think what you do is really important, especially for us artists who don't have the big media machines that some other artists have.
Yes, thank you for that. Yes, you're right. You're right. Thank you. All right. Well, you have a good evening, and say hello to Mr. Harris for us as well.
I'm up.
All right.
Regards. Yes.
Okay. All right.
You have a great one, okay?
Okay, everybody.
Thank All right. You. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
All right, that was Scott Bugs Allen. The upcoming CD on the Spectra Jazz label is called It's About Time. It will be available February 15th, so definitely pick that up. Check that out. You can find Scott on Facebook. He's also on Twitter. His Twitter name is Bugs Bass. So you can follow him on Twitter and check him out on Facebook. All right, Mike, you have anything to add?
No, nothing to add right now. No, nothing right now.
Nah, okay.
Nah.
All right, well, we are not on this weekend because the country will be shut down for the Super Bowl game on Sunday. So I want to wish all of you Super Bowl watchers good luck. I hope your team wins. Who's your money on, Mike?
My money is actually on Pittsburgh. It's going to be a great game. It's going to be a good game. But I think Pittsburgh is going to be too much for Green Bay.
Wow. All right then. Well, hopefully your team will win. Join us again on Monday, February 7th, with our interview with Lord Yancey. And that will be at 7 p.m. Pacific and 10 p.m. Eastern as well. All right. So I'm going to close the show with the last song from the CD, It's About Time. You have been listening. Oh, let me thank those in the chat room, Bonnie Fan Carol, Ken Pettigrew, Lori and Sherrod, and all of the other ones. Antoine was here a few minutes ago, but he left. It was good to see him again. Thank you all for joining us. You have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you next time. Until then, keep it smooth.